Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
So a couple quick announcements this morning. This is the service before our launch weekend. Next weekend we have, you know, coming right up here on Friday, we have our dedication weekend. The Lord moved us into this great space and gave us all these people that we can reach for Him, and we're so excited to do that. So on Friday, this Friday at 7 p.m., our good friend Les Tomlinson will be with us. We're going to worship our hearts out. Les is going to share some of the things he's been hearing from the Lord in this season, specifically for us. It's going to be a good time. That's Friday at 7. Then on Saturday at 7, Darby Slayton's going to be with us doing the same thing. We'll worship our hearts out again. Kat's going to be leading worship that night. And then that brings us right into the next Sunday. Don't miss next Sunday. It's a dedication service. Our new friends from the Hope All Network will be out. Ted will be here to share with us. Darby will be here, and some different cool things are happening. And then after that service, we're going to eat because we like to eat. We're going to eat together. So plan to stay. And then that is, like I said, October 31st. Now we're in this great new community. For clarity, we are not celebrating Halloween, but we are realizing that all our neighbors will be out. So we're going to throw a movie on the wall. We're going to hand out candy. We're going to see who we can get to come in here. We'll offer them drinks, bathrooms, things like that. And we'll just make friends now that we're here. So we're in the middle of our Corinthians in October challenge. It's not too late. You can read this thing in probably a half hour. For those of you that haven't started, for those of you that are finished, that's awesome. If you're like me, you have a little bit left to go. We're reading 1st and 2nd Corinthians this month together. You guys remember we started John in July, Acts in August, Romans and Galatians, and here we are in Corinthians. Online Bible studies Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. If you need the information about that, it's that blue paper over by that light switch. Mark your calendars November 19th and 20th. We're going to have a worship event here. It's looking like we may be 24 hours of people coming in and worshiping. So plan to be here some of the time. All right, before I bring Bob up here to share today, I just wanted to thank everybody that's been sowing and giving. All of our needs have been met. We've been looking outward now and how we can meet community needs. So in case you missed it, there's a bulletin board out here in this entryway with a lot of thank you notes we're already receiving with how we've been helping the community. Cool testimonies that we've had. A lot of you guys have heard about the washer and the dryer. The washer and the dryer was in the office. If anybody wants the tour later, I'll show them. We didn't want a washer and a dryer in the office. We wanted a desk. And so we put it up on Facebook. You know, come get this washer and dryer. And some people were like, hey, we really need that. And so it was a young couple. He's a pastor at another church. They had a little kid, and they had one on the way, and they were praying and asking God for a washer and a dryer. And so, you know, that's awesome that we could do that. But the kicker is they live on this street on the next block. So it's like, you know, and some people were like, well, their church should have bought them a washer and a dryer because that's probably what we would have done. And that's great. But if your church bought that for you, you don't have a cool testimony that I was praying and asking God, you know. So we're pretty excited about things like that. I'm going to do one more since everyone's being so attentive. A couple blocks over, I don't know if you guys remember when Peggy Jones was here, there was a big fire and there was a house that was a total loss. And we were like, well, we have to do something. I mean, we can't buy somebody a house at this point. Just think down the road when we can do stuff like that. We can't buy somebody a house at this point. So we sent a small check, and we thought we'd never, ever hear from this person. We just, hey, we want to help in any way. This is how we can help you. And I know Tiffany included a nice note. And so my wife is at a banquet for moms of special needs kids, getting together, learning about some resources. She's at this banquet. There's probably a couple hundred people there. She gravitates towards this older woman. You know, they get their food. They sit down together. And this lady looks at my wife and says, just looks at her. There's no conversation yet. And she says, my house burnt down and a church I never heard of sent me a check. And my wife says, oh, yeah, that was our church. You know, so, and what's really cool is, you guys know, if I came in here and said, hey, this parent of a special needs, this special needs kid that lives a block away, we would have been like, hey, we're going to give them so much because we love special needs kids. And, you know, so, but it's awesome to see God working when we step forward with our little bit, how it's rippling out. So that's been cool. So if you brought something to give, hold it in your hand. We don't pass the plate here. We have a basket in the back. You can set it in your convenience, but we just want to pray over it and bless you. So Father, we thank you that we can give into what you're doing. We pray that you would bless everyone that's sowing. Lord, that you would hear the cries of their heart, that you would meet their needs financially, that we thank you that you're our provider, but we pray for extra provision to come to launch them into the place that you've called them to be. And we thank you for that, Lord. So multiply the seed and give us wisdom about how to use it to reach people for you. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Bobby, you ready?
Sure.
Bobby's up.
Good morning.
Morning.
Does anybody want to guess what today's topic is?
Rest.
Just so happens. Yeah, I'm just going to get right into it. Father, we just come before you today, Lord, and just want to rest in your presence. Sometimes it's just not words that we can even express with how good you are. So we're just here with you right now, Lord. Open our hearts to receive your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start right in Genesis. So I'm not going to read all of verse 1. I'm just going to kind of do a little recap. You know that on day 1, you know, God created the light, the darkness, day, night, water, heavens, and the earth. Day 2, he created the sky. Separated. And day 3, dry land, bodies of water, plants, trees, fruits. Day 4, stars, the sun, the moon. Day 5, he created living creatures, flying sea creatures. Day 6, he created land animals, and then finally he created man. And God created all these things in a way that it sustains itself. Everything's already created here. And it says that let the earth bring forth everything from its own seed, all the animals and trees, people. And then chapter 2, it says, then God rested. You know, he didn't rest because he was tired or worn out. He didn't rest because he needed a day off. He rested because he was finished. The work that he was doing is finished. It was completed. God created a masterpiece. It's just like when an artist, he's painting and that last brush stroke completes the entire masterpiece. And one of the things that I was reading in here, that final stroke for his masterpiece was man. That last brush stroke that completed everything. You know, man completed the masterpiece that God imagined in his mind. It means that there's no more work to be done for the masterpiece. There's no more work. So, you know, I was reading, the Bible never says that God started working again, that he was finished with this masterpiece. He's not working. He's not creating new trees, he's not creating new people or new species. He's not recreating these things because it's already finished. And, you know, when I read just the order of the things are in here, you know, God, he created man from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed life into him. It says the sixth day, God created man, then rested and breathed life into man. After he was finished his creation, he gave us life in that rest. So it's not the kind of rest I think that we think of as rest. So there's nothing more that he has to complete. There's nothing more that he has to create. And now God, in his rest, is just enjoying his creation. He's enjoying his people. That we're living in that rest. And I think sometimes that we mistaken recovery for rest. that we need to take a nap, or we need to take a mental day, or in a mental health day, call off work, whatever it is, you know. And that's not what the rest that God is talking about. God is talking about a completed, finished rest. Okay? And, you know, God didn't, you know, he doesn't have to catch his breath. You know, he's not worn out. And, you know, he just rested because he was finished. And he's enjoying us. And I have written down here that the definition of rest in the dictionary is to cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. That's a very worldly definition of rest. God didn't need to do any of those things. And the definition for recovery is a return to a normal state of mental, mind, or strength. Sometimes I think we go to God for these particular things, which is great to do. But that's not God's definition. You know, I think we tend to really mistake the rest for that recovery. You know, we need to recover for what we do during the week. You know, we get into some heavy work. Some of us do some construction stuff. Some of us walk 10 miles a day. You know, some of us deal with a lot of headaches. You know, that's what we need this recovery from. And, you know, rest isn't a day. That rest isn't that, you know, a day that we take that, you know, we need some downtime. It's a relationship that we live in with God. The word that we get that word rest in Genesis from is the same root word that we get for Sabbath. It's Shabbat. Shabbath. And the Sabbath was created for man. So if you guys want to turn to Colossians 2:16 and 17, it says, "Therefore, let no one judge you in regard to food or drink or in regard to the observance of a festival." I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. The observance of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Such things are only a shadow of what is to come, and they have only symbolic value. But the substance, the reality of what is foreshadowed, belongs to Christ. The Sabbath rest relationship isn't a Friday night into a Saturday, if you know that's what a lot of the Jewish people still celebrate. And it's not a Sunday morning that we come here to gather. It's our Sabbath rest is in Jesus himself. That we can rest 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and be in that rest relationship. In Hebrews 4, Paul talks about the Sabbath rest. He says, we'll get to a couple of the scriptures, I'll read them a little bit later, but he says it's not about what day the Sabbath is, but what the Sabbath is all about. And the answer is rest. Resting in that completed work. All the Jews at that time thought that they knew what it was about, but they didn't really get it. And I always love when Paul starts to talk to people, like he puts it how it is, you know. He's very straightforward. And but they, you know, they just didn't get what he was really talking about. God rested from his creation because it was finished. God created a perfect masterpiece. Everything the human race would ever need was already here. The water, food, plants, trees, and even a plan for our salvation was already designed before the beginning of time. Something else I think that we tend to sometimes overlook is our healing is already here. Our deliverance, our prosperity, our restoration is already here. It's already part of what God created. You know, how about, you know, peace and joy, hope, love, faith, grace, all these wonderful things that God has already put into plan. And when he does things, it is completed. It is finished. There's no ifs, you know, that I need healing, but it doesn't come because there's no reasons why. It's already here. It's already part of what he's already done for us. And everything we need, he has a plan for it. And actually, he's already planned for it before we were even needed it. So I have a few points here about what God's rest is. And it says that the rest God is talking about is not rest from your daily work or from physical activities, exhausted, being physically exhausted when you work hard. It's a profound peace that God gives to those who love and obey him regardless of circumstances. It's a peace that involves a complete relationship between God and his creation. It is a profound peace that does not affect whether you are rich or poor, intelligent, unintelligent. Some of us got a little bit more than others. It's all good. It doesn't change because of our race, black or white. It doesn't matter. It's a rest that heals and makes you whole. A rest that, rest and peace, are synonymous. And I'll use both of those words. It is a rest that calms your fears and gives you a sense of stability to face the future with confidence, regardless of what is happening around you. Point number two. It's a kind of peace that allows you to be in a state of rest at all times, whether you're in trials or in joyful times, because you're just trusting in God. It's actually Isaiah 26. If you want to turn there, you can. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. It says, "You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. Trust confidently in the Lord forever. He is your fortress, your shield, your banner. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock." It's not only being at rest, but also renewed in your inner life, your spirit, because God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Even when extremely tired, the Holy Spirit gives you strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And somehow you find grace to do the impossible things in your life. It comes from this rest. Point number three, it's a lifestyle that enables the believer not to be rattled by any circumstances of life. You know, all things are being worked for good for those who love the Lord. The believer lives in faith and just shall live by, and the just shall live by faith. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord," in Psalms 37:23. Point number four I have here is there's a Greek word, and I'm going to try to do my best. It's akatastatos, meaning it's unstable or restless. It's a Greek word that's used. And it's for someone who's scheming, plotting, very unstable and restless to go on their own, do their own thing. A lot of us, even as Christians, try to do things on our own and can be a little bit chaotic at those times. They boast in about who they are and what they have achieved without God. And it really, that doesn't bring any fruit to your life. The one trusting the Lord has peace, knowing God is always with them. He or she is in a state of rest and tranquility, knowing no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And he in them, the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is greater than the evil one. So, back here to Colossians 2:17, it says in the Passion Translation, I changed the translations here for, I just really like how easy it is to understand. It says, "All of these were but a prophetic shadow, and the evidence of what would be fulfilled for the body is now in Christ. Christ fulfilled our Sabbath rest on the cross. Now we can live in perfect peace, joy. We have faith, not just any old faith, but in the King James it says, in Galatians 2:20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We just don't have our own faith. It's not faith that we have, that we created in our own self. It's the faith of Jesus. He gave us all this equal portion of faith, just that he had faith, so we can see the same things that Jesus saw and things that he did, things that brings heaven to earth. And so I have 5 points for how we can enter rest. The first one is actually what prevents us from entering God's rest. It's in Hebrews 3:19. In the Passion Translation, it says, "It is clear that they cannot enter into their inheritance because they wrap their hearts in unbelief." Doubt and unbelief. When we don't believe from a perspective that God has already created everything that we will ever need, that's unbelief. And I believe that unbelief can tend to bring religion, where we have to do a work in order for God to move. That God responds, you know, the harder that we pray, or the harder that we beg him to do things, or how much we give, or how much we go out into the community and do things, that's what makes God respond to us. But that's not true. You know, sorry, lost my place here. Ephesians 1:4, it says, "In love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us, so that they would be holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence." If God chose us from the beginning, he created us fully stocked with all the provision that we're ever going to need. Point number two, have faith. As I mentioned earlier in 2:20, we live by the faith of the Son of God. And in Hebrews 4, it says that, "Now the promise of entering into God's rest is still for us today. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted or had unbelief. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest." You know, religion is just trying to make God move by us doing something. You know, we can't say, "God, why didn't you do this, or why didn't you do that, and you know, why didn't you move?" Because of all the things that I did, you know, why didn't you respond to me? You know, faith grabs hold of what God has already done, the healing that's already here. Our faith grabs hold of that and manifests it into our present, you know, into this physical body, prosperity, restoration, forgiveness, peace. We can have peace in everything that we do. Point number three is believe. Hebrews 4:3 says, "For those of us who believe," and when I read that passage, believe what? 4:1 says the promise of entering God's rest is still for us today. We have to believe the truth that God created everything we will ever need, and it's here right now for us to live in and take hold of and manifest it in our lives. We don't have a God we can ask, you know, we can ask God, "Where are you?" We have a God that says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That, you know, he'll never turn his back on us. His mercies are new every day. We have a God that gave us a Savior that has ushered us into a complete salvation of forgiveness. I mean, that's what we live in. 1 Peter 1:18-21, it says, "For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of life handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us. Verse 20 says, this was part of God's plan, for he was chosen and destined for this before the foundation of the earth was laid. But he has been made manifest in these last days for you and for all of us. It is through him that you now believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that you would fasten your faith and hope in God alone. God planned for whatever you're going through. He planned for it long before it even happened. And when we believe and take hold of the truth that he's already planned the escape that you need, or the breakthroughs that you need, that rest that we can enter into will just happen. Point number four, have hope. Psalm 33:22. Let your love and steadfast kindness overshadow us continually, for we trust and we wait upon you, or our hope is in you, depending on what translation you have. The Passion Translation says, wait upon the Lord is the same thing as hope. But we hope in him alone. Our hope isn't just a wish that something good will happen or our circumstances will have a good outcome. Our hope is believing in the things God promises and what he says he will do and expect them to happen. I've used Isaiah 55:11 a few times in some of my other times that I was sharing here. It just is very profound to me is when I read the promises and I read this. It says that, so also will be the word that I speak. It does not return to me unfulfilled. My word performs my purpose and fulfills the mission I send it out to accomplish. You know, we've all probably, I would imagine we all had some prophecies and people prophesying over us or giving us a word for our life at the time. And we need to grab onto those words. Those words are spoken over you. You know, those, and we need to take those words and expect them to be accomplished. You know, God doesn't just speak and nothing happened. God speaks, and there needs to be an expectation that what he has spoken is going to happen. Point number five, trust in God. God created us for his rest. He created us, and that's where we live. You know, Adam and Eve, they were in this rest with God where he would come and walk with them in the cool of the day and just spend time with them and giving them a garden with everything to sustain them for their entire lives. You know, for a relationship with him that is complete and finished. God rested on that seventh day because he was done. He was finished. That his provision, every provision his creation would ever need is here. Already made available to us when we enter his rest. When we enter that completed work, that rest relationship. So I'm going to close with this, a little bit short today. John 19:28-30. In the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus knew that his mission was accomplished. And to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting nearby, so they soaked a sponge with it and put it on a stalk of hyssop and raised it to his lips. When he had sipped the sour wine, he said, it is finished, my bride. I like that part. Some of the translations don't have that. That just kind of makes it real. He said, it is finished, my bride. Then he bowed his head and surrendered his spirit to God. The word that was used there, the word used in the original language there, the Greek was, I'm going to try to pronounce this properly, it is tetelestai. It means the sacrifice is accomplished, the work is completed, the debt is paid in full. You know, all of these different nuances, all these different meanings for that word, they come together to communicate a very beautiful truth that Jesus completed the work of salvation once and for all. That means it's not up to us to add anything, complete anything, finalize anything when it comes to our salvation. Jesus did it all. So now when we have, when we put our trust in that finished work, we can rest in confidence of our salvation and pursue God with our whole hearts and enter into this rest through Jesus. You know, it sounds so easy. I think it's a very simple gospel. We just got to get out of our own heads to understand the truth that comes from the Word, the truth that comes out of living in this rest relationship, that in everything that we do, we're already supplied everything that we're going to need to get through it. So I'm just going to pray, and then we can get on with our day. So Father, I just thank you. I thank you for making things a whole lot easier than what we make it. Thank you for being a God that is always here in every situation. And sometimes the noise from everything that's going on around us just kind of takes that small voice and just makes it too hard to hear. But you're still there. It doesn't mean that you're not. So Father, we just thank you for being a Father that just wants to enjoy the things that He's created, the people that He's created, and giving us an opportunity to always come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm taking a well.